And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, I received a lot of information recently in my research that indicated that Barack Obama, President of the United States, was put there by the Jews, by very influential Jews, in fact, the Rothschilds, Soros, Reichman, Bronfman, and others. And in fact, according to the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune newspaper, a very prominent Jewish lawyer out of Chicago was effusively praising Barack Obama. And this was right at the time that he was elected. And Abner Mikva, the Jewish lawyer, I believe, in my opinion, a corrupt man, because he was White House counsel in the administration of Bill Clinton, and how much more corrupt could you be than that? Mr. Mikva said of Obama, Obama being a great friend of his and the Jews, Mr. Mikva, a resident of Chicago, where he's very active in politics there, said that Barack Obama will prove to be America's first Jewish president. A lot of people are confused about that. Turns out that Michelle Obama's brother, black like she is, nevertheless is a Jewish rabbi. He converted to Judaism. Mikva says that when Barack Obama came to see him one day, as a young man, to ask him how he could get ahead in politics, Mikva said, "Well, Barack, what you've got to do is go join a black church, a Christian church. See, you got to have a power base." And that's when Barack Obama went and joined Pastor Jeremiah Wright's church there in Chicago, a big, influential Afro-American church. Before that, he wasn't even going to church. But he wanted to know how I can get ahead in politics. And Mr. Mikva, who is a Jew, said, go join a church. Everybody, you know, who's going to be anybody in politics in America has to pretend, I suppose, you know, that they're a Christian. I remember when Dwight Eisenhower was asked by his backers, General Eisenhower was asked, what is your denomination? You know, Christian denomination. So we can put it in your official biography since you're going to be our Republican candidate for president. Dwight Eisenhower said, I don't have any. I don't even go to church. They said, oh, well, we've got to fix that then. And so they just put down that he was Episcopal. And they said, if anybody asks you from now on, you're an Episcopal. Okay, said Dwight Eisenhower. Actually, as it turns out, although his official biographers have hidden the fact for all these decades, turns out that President Dwight D. Eisenhower was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. But, of course, that would have been the kiss of death to admit that you were a member of a Jewish Zionist so-called Christian cult. And that's what Jehovah's Witnesses are. They're a Judaizer cult that do not believe that Jesus Christ is truly God. So Dwight Eisenhower was raised, and his mother, by the way, was a fanatical Jehovah's Witness, as exactly that. But he had to have a church. And it had to be sort of your standard, you know, cookie cutter mainstream church. Now, I don't want to talk to you today about Barack Obama and his fake Christianity, although it sure enough is, or Dwight Eisenhower or anybody else. But I want to propose something else to you. One of the reasons that Barack Obama is going to prove to be one of the most evil presidents America has ever had is because of this Jewish connection, the influence of the Jews on his life since he was a small boy, and the communists too. But then I repeat myself, I'm redundant, because Jews are the original communist, and Lenin and Trotsky, who gave us the horrors of the Soviet Union, were indeed Jews. So, again, I'm redundant when I say the words Jewish and communist. Barack Obama, our first Jewish president. Of course, he's not, as far as I know, blood-wise a Jew. But I believe they meant that in his brain, in his mind, in his soul, he is a Jew. What does it mean to be a Jew? Well, Jesus told the Jews of his day, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you will do. Some people say, Tex Mars, that was only about the Pharisees. Well, my friends, read the Encyclopedia Judaica, the Jewish Encyclopedia, and it will tell you that the religion of the Pharisees is the religion of today's Jews, the Orthodox Jews. I only wish the religion of today's Christian church, the establishment church, that is, could be traced back to Jesus Christ and the early church of Christ. But the Jews can be traced back. They haven't changed much over the centuries. They're the same church that hollered out, the same synagogue, I should say, the same group, the same belief system that hollered out to Pilate, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We will not have this man to rule over us. They were evil then. They're evil now. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, and read Matthew 23 and 24, if you want to know about the end of the world. Jesus gave prophecies. And one of his prophecies was that the nation of Israel, that is the physical, fleshly people, Israel, would remain evil throughout history until Jesus Christ himself returns, and that of all the Jews who ever lived till Jesus returns, only a small remnant will be saved. And they will be pressed, just like Gentiles who believe, into the camp of the saints. For my friend, when you belong to Jesus Christ, there is no race. There is only the kingdom of God. And that's what you're a citizen of, Jew or Gentile. There's no room for racism in heaven, in the new heavenly Jerusalem. But here on earth, until Jesus returns again, we're going to have the most evil people on this planet called the Jew. A lot of people say I'm anti-Semite for saying it. But they would say the same thing about Jeremiah and Elijah and Jesus and the Apostle Paul and others. Paul said he would do almost anything if they would just turn to Jesus. But he said, regrettably, only a remnant will be saved. Paul said they have been cut off from the tree of life. But they can still be grafted in if they believe. Otherwise, they're not God's chosen people. They're the devil's chosen people. God's chosen people are all Jew or Gentile who believe in him. Now, I'm going to save that sermon for another day. But I want to talk to you today on the topic of color me evil. And I'm going to approach it from the standpoint of being Jewish. I'm not Jewish, but I want you to understand that you need to have discernment about who the Jews are. They are evil. God has colored them as evil. And he has identified them as evil. And he stated in his word in the Gospel of Matthew that this fleshly group, this fleshly tribe called Israel, would continue their reign of corruption until he returns. In fact, that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said that the Jews would be devoid of spirituality. Devoid of spirituality. Jesus in Matthew 23, verse 36 and 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Then in verse 38, he says, Behold, your house, that's the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. Desolate, devoid of any value, of any spiritual goodness. For I say unto you, said Christ, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You see, until Jesus returns again, and they are forced to admit that he is Lord, they have this abiding hatred for him and his people. And this has colored their behavior all of these many centuries. Now I want to ask this question. Why do Jews continue to do the unspeakable? Why are Jews responsible throughout history for the world's most heinous and infamous crimes? Now you may say, Tex, I can't believe that they are. I can't believe that. Well, I'm going to go over this today. First of all, I want you to look at some prominent Jews of our generation. And I want you to understand the evil nature that compels these men and women to do these things. I start off with the dungeon master from Austria, Mr. Fitzel. You've heard about him. There in Germany, in Austria, actually. He committed incest against his daughter, rape, and then he locked her up in the basement of his house, and she actually bore him a number of children. You've read about that. Fritzl, F-R-I-T-Z-L. Now, this horrible incestual beast was asked by the police why he did what he did. And by the way, it turns out that he was responsible for a murder of a woman whom he raped before he locked away his daughter. What was it, 26 years? Some incredible. At age 16, I think she didn't get out till she was 43 years old. Locked away, way down under the earth in the basement of his house. He fathered children by his own daughter. Fritzl, the Austrian dungeon master, was a Jew. They don't tell you that, though. They don't want you to know. Richard Speck was Jewish. Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Ruby was a Jew. And Lee Harvey Oswald was Jewish. But they don't tell you that. In Russia, they have now released photos of the home, or the building, where the Romanovs, that is, you know, the Tsar, the Tsarina, and their children were massacred, were shot to death. By who? Communist Jews. Now, this was back, 1917, 18? Read about it. It's interesting that they were so gruesome and evil that the Jewish communist who killed the Tsar and his wife and their children took their blood and wrote things on the wall in Hebrew letters. That's why we know they were Jews. In blood, they wrote Hebrew letters on the wall down in the basement where they massacred the Tsar and his family. Why did they hate the Tsar so much? Well, the Tsar's main sin was that he believed in Jesus Christ. He and his wife were Orthodox Christians. It's interesting that a man who has gained great infamy throughout the years, Jack the Ripper wrote in blood on a wall down a dank, dark alleyway where he killed one of his victims, his female victims. He wrote on the wall, "The Jews will not be blamed for nothing." The Jews will not be blamed for nothing. Well, his English wasn't that good. I guess he should have wrote, "The Jews will not be blamed for anything." But in any case, he was simply stating a fact. Now, I don't know if the Ripper, Jack the Ripper, was a Jew or not. But he used Masonic symbols in his work, his dirty work. He carved the bodies of the women who he slayed. He carved Masonic symbols with their body. And he wrote in blood using Masonic symbols. And one of the things you have to understand about the Freemasonic religion, and that's what it is, a secret cult, a secret society based on the Jewish Kabbalah, the basis of it is indeed the Jews will be blamed for nothing. Jack the Ripper, no doubt, was probably a Freemason. Now, we can go on and on with the evil, heinous crime of the Jews. I've talked here on this program about how just recently the nation of Israel invaded the small little province in Palestine called Gaza. They claim that the Gazas were sending some bottle rockets into some Israeli towns and villages. And so they retaliated massively with helicopters, armored personnel carriers, jets, phosphorus, a chemical, biological weapon that has been prohibited by the Geneva Convention. They massacred men, women, and children. Their snipers killed little babies, mothers. Horrible atrocities. It wasn't the first. You have to read books. For example, the Jew, Ilan Pappe, that's P-A-P-P-E, check out his book entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Mr. Ilan, I-L-A-N, Pappe, P-A-P-P-E. He's Jewish himself, but he couldn't stomach what the Jews and Israel did to the Palestinians when they took over in 1948. They carried out a campaign of ethnic cleansing, bigotry, hatred, murder, genocide against the Palestinians. Village after village, raping, killing, plundering, stealing land, taking their Palestinian victims, men, women, children, including old men, and stuffing them down wells. Forcing the people out of their homes, their businesses, their farms, into the tent cities of the desert without food, without water. Massacring people left and right. The Jews did that. Then later they created the myth that when the Jews came to live peaceably in Israel, why, the Arabs and the Palestinians didn't want to live side by side with them. So they just voluntarily uprooted and left and decided to go out and live as refugees out in the hot desert in tents. Oh, sure. Think about you, my friends. If someday the Red Chinese or the Soviet Union troops come into this country, the United States, and they come to your home and rape your daughter and rape your wife and kill your sons and drive you out and take your car, your bank account, your furniture, your home, your food. And then later they create the myth that, well, you know, we peaceful Chinese came to this town or city in America and the people just voluntarily took off, you know, just left everything behind and went out to live out in the boonies somewhere. They're just mean old inhospitable Americans, didn't want to live with us wonderful peace-loving Chinese. What a bunch of liars. Color me evil. Recently, there was a book published by Professor Arno Toaff, T-O-A-F-F. Professor Toaff is known as one of the top two or three top academics in the whole world or scholars in the whole world on the subject of Judaic history. He's a Jew. His father is chief rabbi of the synagogue of Rome, Italy. Couldn't get more Jew than that. Professor Arno Toaff, a few years back, wrote a book in which he said he was shocked to discover from all of his years and years of research that, in fact, stories, accusations by Gentiles that Jews over the centuries have killed little Gentile boys and girls, sacrificed them to their Jewish God during Passover and for other holidays, holy days, so-called, of the Jews, is true. He said it's true. They've been doing this for centuries. And he discovered it by going back and studying in the old Germanic and other languages. The truth. Imagine, can you imagine a Jew whose father is the chief rabbi of the synagogue of Rome? And you being honored as one of the top scholars of Judaic studies in the whole world to discover that your own people have been sacrificing to their God, meaning, I believe, the devil or Lucifer, for hundreds of years, little Gentile boys and girls whom they would abduct from the streets of cities in Europe and go take out into the forest and sacrifice them in a satanic ritual, empty their little bodies of blood, and then drink the blood, and then take their flesh and eat it like cannibals. I'm not saying all the Jews did this, but the rabbis did. We're often battered with people telling us what the German Nazis did, supposedly, to the Jews during the Holocaust. I had on my radio program some years ago a man, he's passed away now, but I believe we might still have the audio tape if you wanted to order it. He wrote a book. We have the book. We still have the book. You can order it for $20. It's entitled An Eye for an Eye, the story of Jews who sought revenge for the Holocaust, written by John Sack, a well-known Jewish news reporter. Now, these allegations of Mr. Sack in his book, An Eye for an Eye, published by a very reputable publisher, Basic Books, were discussed in Newsweek on 60 Minutes TV program, in the New York Times, in the New York Daily News. But they barely touched on the subject, and generally all of this was covered up by the Jewish-owned media in America. Now, I want you to understand why it was covered up. Because Mr. Sack discovered something. He was working on a movie project. He was going to be a script writer for a movie. Now, remember, Mr. Sack is himself an Orthodox Jew, or was. He died recently. But he was an honest man, at least, a humanitarian, and he believed what he had heard about the Holocaust and what the German Nazis did to his own people, the Jews. But one day he ran across someone who began to tell him after World War II that the Jews were allowed by the Russians and the Americans to take over the former Nazi concentration camps, and they were allowed to take millions of Germans, most of them innocent, men, women, and children, guilty of no crimes but simply being Germans. And the Jews wanted their property in nations like Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, Romania, and Germany. They wanted the property of these German people. What were they going to do with the Germans when they kicked them out of their house? They didn't want it to look bad to the world to kick the Germans out of their homes and their property. These Germans who had done nothing were not even necessarily Nazis. Just men, women, and children. They said, oh, we know of a place where we can keep them. Concentration camps. And then they took Jews and gave them uniforms and gave them military rank and made them the guards at these camps. I know right now you're saying, I've never heard of such a thing. Of course you haven't heard of it. You'll never hear of it, but get the book, An Eye for an Eye by John Sack. We're offering it here in this ministry. This book is 275 pages or so long. 275 pages written by a Jew, an honest, Orthodox Jew, who was shocked when he researched. He went to Poland. He went to Europe. He went right to the camps themselves. And he wrote this book, and he told me on the radio program, he says, I have no idea why no Jew in all these decades has come forth to report the brutal criminal torture and murder by Jews of these innocent Germans. And he said, many of them, of the Jews, claimed, well, I suffered under the Nazis. Now I'm going to get revenge, an eye for an eye. I want to read you some of the stories in this book, dear friends. And I want you to order this book, An Eye for an Eye, by John Sack. John Sack told me it made him sick. He vomited over and over. He couldn't sleep at night when he discovered the horror that Jews had inflicted on Germans at concentration camps after World War II, with the permission of Russia and no doubt the knowledge of the United States of America. Germans who were innocent of anything, for the most part. Here was one from the German Federal Archives, statement of a young man who suffered at one of these camps run by Jews with Jewish guards, Jewish commandants. Oh, yeah. The Holocaust they don't tell you about. He said, my cell door opened. The guard, because of the foul smell, because I had no place to use the bathroom, my feces and urine were everywhere. He held a handkerchief to his nose. He cried, Ryman, Eva, come. I was led to a first floor room. They shouted at me, take off your shoes. I took them off. Lie down, the Jewish guards told me. I lay down. One of them took a thick bamboo stick. He beat the soles of my feet. I screamed. The pain was very great. The stick continued to whistle down on me. A blow on my mouth tore open my lower lip. My teeth started bleeding violently. He beat my feet again. The pain was unbearable. Why didn't I lose my senses? Then the door opened, and smilingly, a cigarette in his mouth, in came the chief of the office, a Jewish guard named Sternnagel. In faultless German language, he asked me, what's wrong here? Why do you let yourself be beaten? And he laughed at me. All you have to do, he said, is sign this document. Of course, it was a false confession. I told him I could not sign it. Then, he screamed at me, we will jam your finger in the door until your bones are broad. Then a man picked me up by the ankles. He raised me 8 inches above the floor, and he let me fall. My hands were tied. My head hit the concrete floor. I lay in a bloody puddle. One of the Jewish men nearby cried, stand up! I tried to, and with unspeakable pain, I succeeded. A man with a pistol came in, held it to my left temple, and said, will you now confess? I cried out to him, please shoot me. Yes, I hope to be freed from all his tortures. I begged him, please pull the trigger. Torment, suffering, horror. Inflicted by Jews at a concentration camp shortly after World War II. You're listening to a special edition of Power of Prophecy entitled Color Me Evil. Are the Jews responsible for the world's most heinous and infamous crimes? Stay with us. We'll be right back after this message. Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars. I was just talking to you about the book by John Sack entitled An Eye for an Eye. It's around 275 pages. The story of Jews who sought revenge for the Holocaust. And friends, these Jews themselves became monsters, genocidal murderers, torturers. But then they're doing that today in the nation of Israel. And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney attempted to give us the same system in America, a system whereby Americans would become brutal, inhumane killers and torturers, and our own global system of concentration camps. That's why you've got to read An Eye for an Eye by John Sack. You know, it's interesting. John Sack was a reporter. He was working on a project for Paramount Pictures, the Hollywood group, when he met a woman named Lola, a Jewish woman. He discovered that Lola had come to the United States, but that she had worked as a commandant, that's right, a woman Jewish commandant for the communist Soviet Union. And she admitted to him of the many tortures and horrible things she had done. She told Mr. Sack, she says, "We dreamed that what the Germans did, we'd do to them someday." And she told Mr. Sack then that she had the opportunity to do it, and she did. "We'd force them," she said, "to stand in the cold, 20 below, half naked, force them to stand there humiliated. We'd force them to lift up rocks, impossible rocks, to break their backs, carrying them to and fro. We'd beat them all to a bloody pulp." Lola, one of the main characters in this book, An Eye for an Eye. But then there's a man named Shlomo Morel. Shlomo was known as one of the beasts of the concentration camps. Shlomo was a man who once took a stool and bashed the head of a young German boy in with it while the other Jews watched. He would go in with a stick, take off his belt. He would kick. He would beat. He would jab. He would strangle people till they were dead. And then he would laugh about it. It is said that he was guilty, Shlomo Morel, of at least 1,543 murders by himself alone. 1,543! Jonathan Sack writes about him in this book, An Eye for an Eye. Now I want you to understand something. After John Sack exposed Shlomo Morel, this monster Jewish commandant who killed men, women, children. Once Shlomo Morel took a child out of a German mother's arms. As she was crying and pleaded, she got on her knees and begged him, "Please don't hurt my baby." He took the baby by both of his legs and slammed his head up against the concrete wall. That's the kind of monster Shlomo Morel was. What's happened to Shlomo Morel since this book came out by Jonathan Sack? Shlomo Morel was investigated by the government of Poland, and they discovered that, in fact, he was a monster who had killed over 1,500 innocent human beings at a Jewish-run communist concentration camp at Auschwitz and other places as well. He was indicted for serial murder. That's right, he was indicted. They had the evidence. The grand jury indicted him. Shlomo then evidently went to the Israeli embassy and was given the money to flee and the new papers, and he fled the nation of Poland. And guess where he's living today? In the lap of luxury in Israel. The Polish government has asked for him to be extradited, this man Shlomo Morel. Israel refuses. Now I want you to understand something, friends. Around the world, so-called Nazi hunters have been seeking out guards and those who participated in any so-called crimes of the Holocaust. They're still today trying to root out these people. In fact, one of them, a man named Demjanjuk here in America, they claimed was Ivan the Terrible, who had killed so many Jews and tortured so many at one of the Nazi concentration camps. And they got the American government to turn him over to the Israeli authorities in Israel, even though he was living here peaceably as a resident in the United States. The problem was Demjanjuk was not guilty of what they accused him of. There are so many hoaxes, so many liars of the Holocaust. But in this case, his lawyer, a Jewish man, was an honest man, just like Sack was when he wrote this book. And Mr. Demjanjuk's attorney, a Jew in Israel, where Demjanjuk was being tried for mass murder and torture, his lawyer was able to dig up documents and research and present evidence to the court that Mr. Demjanjuk was not even a guard at that camp, was never there. And the Israeli court shocked the world by finding Mr. Demjanjuk innocent of all the charges and releasing him, and he returned to America. The Jews were so angry about this, they took revenge against a congressman who had defended him, Mr. Traficant. And the Clinton administration drummed up charges against him, and he was sent to prison. This is the way they do things. Now, I'm trying to tell you, my friends, you can color these people evil. You can talk to me all day about the Holocaust. I want to tell you about the Jewish Holocaust against Germans. And it's documented by a Jew, an honest man. He said in his book that he was hoping he would find Jews having done these monstrous crimes that would express to Mr. Sack, after all these years, we're sorry for what we've done. We wish we had not done it to these men, women, children, even little babies. You see, these Jews are living peaceably now, many of them in luxury. They're stock market brokers. They're Wall Streeters. They're Hollywood directors. They're living all around the world in the lap of luxury, these Jews that killed all these Germans at these concentration camps. Lolo has it made. And, of course, so does Shlomo Morel. He's probably considered a hero in Israel today. And they refuse to extradite him, although he's been indicted by a Polish grand jury. Mr. Sack, Jonathan Sack, told me, and it's also in his book, I just wanted someone to be remorseful. I wanted someone to say, I'm sorry for what I did. But he couldn't find anybody. There was no Jews who said, I'm sorry. They all said, I'm glad we did it. Mr. Sack said, but many of these people were innocent. You know what the response usually was? All Germans are guilty. They all should have died. We should have sent nuclear bombs and killed them all. Color me evil. I want to offer you this book. It's only $20. That's why it's only $20, because I want to get out more and more of these books. An Eye for an Eye. Call us up toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You won't have any congressman tell you about this book. President Obama won't tell you about this book. This book is not offered in any bookstores that I know of. I had to... I had to go to great lengths to get enough copies to offer from this ministry. But right now we have enough copies. For how long, I don't know. It may be out by the time you order. We may have to give you a refund. I don't know. Order it as soon as you can. It's shocking, startling, astonishing, mesmerizing, extraordinary, all those things and more. You'll discover how bloodthirsty and evil the Jews can be. Jesus was right. Devoid of any soul. Now, I'm not talking about those few Jews, the remnant, who have come to know Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something, friends. Every one of us is born in sin in this world. And we commit sin. And when you come to know Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins. And you're remorseful. Because Jesus knows the hearts of all men. You can't hide from him. You can say things as a psychopath or a sociopath and deceive the multitudes. But you can't fool Jesus. He knows the inner parts of your ever being. He knows. Now let's return to our regular program, of course. I want to remind you of our address here. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. In the United States of America. If you're in the United States and Canada, you can phone us and order this book, An Eye for an Eye, for $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling, $25 postpaid. Just call us at our toll-free number, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or our regular phone number, 512-263-9780. Ask for An Eye for an Eye by SACK, S-A-C-K. Praise God for his honesty. I hope he came to know Jesus Christ before he died. I hope I'll be in heaven with him as my brother. He wrote a truthful book. Now let me tell you something. After he wrote this book, Jonathan Sack thought that Jews would congratulate him. I'm glad you told the truth about us. They would say to him, ha, no way. After he wrote this book, he couldn't get a contract to do anything. Hollywood script, my eye. They didn't want this man around. He was punished for telling the truth about the Jews. But as he told me, he said the Torah of the Old Testament tells us to be honest, to tell the truth. That's what I did. If I'm punished for it, so be it. Well, he was punished for it. So be it. Now, I want to talk some more about the monstrosity that is the Jewish people today. When you study it, you will find there's a Jewish connection to the Cambodian massacre, to the Vietnamese War. You'll find the story of the USS Liberty ship when Israel massacred American troops and tried to blame it on Egypt, didn't get away with it. Then they claimed it was all a big mistake. The USS Liberty. Check it out. There's the Hanukkah War of 2008. That's right. They started their war against Gaza during the holy day of Hanukkah. They like to do that. They like to kill on their holy days. We as Christians at Easter and Christmas, we want to worship our Lord Jesus and bring peace to the world and love. They want to celebrate their days of Purim and Hanukkah and Passover by going out and killing people. That's the Jews. The Jewish connection in Cambodia, that Cambodian communists were trained at the Jewish French Grand Orient Lodge in Paris, France. That's the connection. You know, you can go all the way back to the days of the slave traders in the United States, and guess what you find out? All the slave traders were Jews, Jewish rich men. They were the slave traders. Black man, did you know that? It was the Jews who brought you to America. Now I want to tell you something else. It was your black tribesmen who sold you into slavery to the Jews in Africa. And then it was their trading ships, their commercial ships, that brought you to America to slave auctions and sold you into slavery. So the black people of Africa abducted other blacks and sent them off to be slaves, and the Jews made the money from it. Even Louis Farrakhan of the Black Muslims exposed this in scholarly books. Boy, was he ever slandered for doing that. I'm no friend of Louis Farrakhan, but this is one time he told the truth. It's been proven. Did you know that many of the plantation owners in the Deep South were Jews? I visited Richmond, Virginia, and the two most prominent buildings there is, you know, there's where the South was, the headquarters. The two most prominent buildings in the city of Richmond, Virginia is number one, this gigantic Jewish synagogue, and number two, the Masonic Temple. Those are the two main buildings. And it was from those two buildings that the Civil War was conducted. The Jews were behind the great massacre of the war between the states and the United States. You just don't know if you don't know what. Listen, check it out. Guess who the Secretary of the Treasury, the money man, was for the Confederacy? A Jewish general. Say, Tex, I've never heard of anything. Well, check out Judah Benjamin. Check it out. You'll see. You'll see. During one of the wars between Egypt and modern-day Israel, Egyptian POWs were taken prisoner, some 3,500 of them. But the Jews said, why should we have to feed them and shelter them? Let's just kill them all. And they did. They did. They took the 3,500 Egyptians who were told they would be peaceably repatriated back to Egypt after the war was over. They took them out in the desert. They massacred them all. And then they used a bulldozer to bulldoze their 3,500 plus bodies into the sands. Jews don't take prisoners of Gentiles. Gentiles, you see, are insects and cattle to the Jews. That's what their Talmud says. And that's what they did to the Egyptian prisoners, Egyptian POWs. Did you know the mafia of the United States is not run by the Italian Sicilians? Have you ever heard of Bugsy Siegel or Meyer Lansky or all the other Jewish mafia? They run the Italian mafia. But you don't know about that, do you? Of course not. The media won't tell you about it. Recently reading a fantastic book. We're offering this into the ministry too for $30 postpaid. It's entitled A Greater Miracle Than the Lost Ten Tribes Discovered, The Dead 6 Million Uncovered. Well, it's a long title, but ask for the book A Greater Miracle by Brian Clarabaugh. It's hard to spell too. Just ask for the book A Greater Miracle. And it is an incredible book. It's a book of over 500 pages for $30 postpaid. Let's read a little bit about what it says. And by the way, it shows crime after crime after crime by Jewish and Israeli leaders. For example, no wonder the Germans did not want to be taken prisoner, and they did not want the Soviet Union to capture German territory in World War II. They begged Eisenhower and Patton. They said, please, we will surrender to the Americans, but we don't want to surrender to the Russians. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Here's why. Joseph Stalin's Jewish propaganda minister, Ilya Grigorievich Ehrenburg, that's Ehrenburg, issued this order to the Soviet troops. Remember, he was a Jew working for Stalin. All of the top communists in Russia were Jews. Here was his order. It started with one word, kill. In Germany, nothing is guiltless, neither the living nor the yet unborn. Crush forever in its den the fascist beast. Violently break the racial pride of the German women. Ravish them as booty. Kill, you gallant red soldiers. Kill. Kill the Germans wherever you find them. Every German is our moral enemy. Have no mercy on women, children, or the aged. Kill every German. Wipe them out. My goodness gracious. Monsters. Now, let's talk about a recent prime minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon. passed away a couple of years ago. Did you know that he couldn't set a foot in Belgium or the Netherlands because he had been indicted for war crimes by the world court? War crimes by the world court. He was prime minister of Israel, and he was big pals with George W. Bush. They probably kissed full force on the mouth, as far as I know. Georgie boy being a bisexual, and Ariel Sharon being a monster killer. Why was he indicted for war crimes by the world court? Well, they cited the mass murder and the evidence of Sharon killing 2,000 Lebanese refugees in the Sabra and Shatila camps during Israel's invasion of Lebanon. Back in 1953, Sharon had been the commander of Killer Unit 101 that brutally massacred defenseless Arab civilians in the Palestinian village of Kibya. How about Israel's first prime minister, the great Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion? When Israel became a nation in 1948, he was chosen its first prime minister. Now, Ben-Gurion had stated that he hoped he could duplicate Lenin's accomplishments in Palestine. Did you get what I just said? David Ben-Gurion was a big hero worshiper of Vladimir Lenin, the monster of Red Soviet Russia, and he wanted to duplicate Lenin's accomplishments. What were one of those accomplishments? Camps, murders, tortures, war crimes. At Lenin's death in 1923, Ben-Gurion wrote a glowing eulogy of him, calling him, quote, one of the greatest humanitarians who ever lived. This is the first prime minister of Israel. He got it off to a rousing start, didn't he, in 1948. Read Pappy's book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Over and over, Ben-Gurion told his troops, massacre, kill, rape. That's all the Palestinians are good for. They're not human beings. They're beasts. Kill them all. Drive them out. They even came up with a name. They couldn't call it ethnic cleansing or genocide. The Jews under Ben-Gurion and all the others called it transfer. We must transfer them out of our land. Of course, it was land that had been owned by the Palestinians for hundreds and hundreds of years, but the Jews wanted it. The Jews being communist Leninist. How about former Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin? Did you know that President Jimmy Carter said he could have had peace in the Middle East between Yasser Arafat, the head of the Palestinians, and Israel and Egypt, if it had not been for the racism of Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin? That's what Carter said. Begin was a racist, and he hated the Palestinians and the Arabs, and he said they're not even human beings as far as we're concerned, we Jews. He was prime minister of Israel. By the way, he was a practicing Buddhist. A practicing Buddhist! But he was a Jew who believed in Zionism. Oh, yeah. He was also a leader of the terrorist gang called Irgun. The terrorist gang Irgun rampaged through Palestine, killing men, women, and children, cutting off the genitals of little boys and sticking them in their mouths, cutting the heads off of old men, raping every woman they could get their hands on. By the way, Rahm Emanuel, who is now White House Chief of Staff, a dual citizen, he's Obama's White House Chief of Staff, former congressman, Wall Street millionaire, Chicago political mafioso, White House Chief of Staff right now, and yet he's a dual citizen of Israel and the United States. And during the first Persian Gulf War, he went over there to fight. But not for America. He went over there and joined the Israeli Defense Forces to fight for Israel. The man is a traitor to America, and he's Obama's White House Chief of Staff. And his father was one of the leaders of this terrorist group called Irgun. Clairball writes in his book, A Greater Miracle. He says, the Israelis violently drove off 700,000 Palestinians from their homes. This Palestinian exodus was initiated when the Israelis perpetrated brutal acts of torture and mass murder against old men, women, and children. Authorities have found that 254 Palestinians, for example, were massacred at a site called Deir Yassin. The Israelis then widely publicized these brutal murders throughout Palestine to serve as a warning of what would happen to any Palestinians who refused to leave their homes. After the Palestinians fled for their lives, then the Israelis passed an abandoned property law that said that all lands and property that had been abandoned, left behind by the Palestinians, were now the property of, well, of course, the Jews, the Israelis. And did you know that in Israel today, they still have racist discriminatory laws forbidding any Israeli to sell property to a Palestinian? A Jew can come to the United States and you can sell him land. You can sell a Palestinian land or a home or a business. But they don't want any Palestinians there. They're prejudiced. They're discriminatory. They're monsters. There's no doubt about it. Oh, so many stories, so much evidence I could give you. Listen to this. From Amnesty, the organization called Amnesty International, after investigating the state of Israel, reported, quote, "In the name of security, Israel has effectively legalized torture, held people under administrative detention without trial, and allowed their security forces to carry out unlawful killings with impunity." Now you know why Bush and Cheney tried to get the same system going and did here in America. According to the Norwegian Red Cross, in the 1982 invasion of Lebanon, the Israelis bombed Palestinian refugee camps full of women, children, the sick, and the injured. It goes on and on. On and on what they have done. Let's go a little further here. Oh, let's go to the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. A Greater Miracle talks about it on page 145. And the Jews themselves admitted much of what they've done. The American Hebrew magazine, dated back in August 10th, 1920, wrote this, quote, "The Bolshevik Revolution in Russia was the work of Jewish brains, of Jewish planning, whose goal was to create a new world order. What happened in Russia shall also, through Jewish mental and physical forces, become a reality all over the world." Do you get that? In the American Hebrew magazine, what happened in Russia with the Bolshevik communist Jews was that they were setting up a new world order, and this is to happen all over the world. And now you know why Obama is being praised by the Jews, by the rich billionaires of Wall Street, to whom he and Rahm Emanuel and our Congress have given already some $14 trillion and hollowed out all the wealth of America. They've taken our money, these goons from Israel, the Jews, the Wall Streeters, and next they're going to take our lives. They built up these FEMA concentration camps. Rahm Emanuel, Obama, they smile. Their teeth are so white, so lovely. Monsters in their heart, devoid of souls. Mark my word. Their goal is a Jewish New World Order and the death of every Christian man, woman, and child. Color me evil. The Jews of the world and Barack Obama. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.